1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. Earlier I mentioned that we've been contacted by two women, both friends. They were at a religious event at the weekend, won't say where at this stage, and both of them went to confession, and both of them felt that they were asked inappropriate questions in the confessional. And I mentioned this. Now, Martina, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
I know it happened a long time ago, but the fact that you're still upset by it tells us something. Do you want to tell us in the way that you would like to what happened, Martina?
Okay, it happened, Joe, when I was 14. I came from a pretty strict Catholic family, in a country town in Ireland, and confession was a very big part of what we as children had to do.
Okay.
So we were taken off to confession every maybe 2 weeks. And despite the fact that we had the same sins every time we went at that stage, we still had to go and go to communion and all of that. So,
Martina, when you say the same sins, you mean the sins we were all told to
almost swearing and telling lies,
of course,
and we had those all the time.
Yes.
But anyway, we had to go to confession, and very often I walked there, or my father would drop me at the church and wait outside while I was at confession and collect me, take me home. But on this particular occasion, I went into the confessional box. I was asked to tell my sins, and then the priest started to ask me what age was I and had I started to go out with boys yet. And I hadn't really. I was the eldest of a family, which, you know, and being a girl at that time, you know, I was my mother was quite strict. So there was very little about going out with boys at that stage, even if I was doing it quietly.
You were what age?
I was 14.
Okay.
And I wasn't going out with boys, obviously looking at boys, but I wasn't going out with anyone in particular. But so the priest asked me, he said, well, do you know what boys do when you go out with them?
Okay.
So I said no, and he said, well, the first time you go out with them, they will put, they might just put their hand on your knee. And, you know, you might go to a firm with them and they'll put your hand on their knee, but they'll move it up to your leg.
So it just got more and more graphic, I presume.
Got more and more graphic until, and it took quite a while to get to, you know, the situation where I just couldn't believe what I was hearing and what he had told me and what boys would do to me after a certain period of time going out with them. So I can't remember whether I got absolution for those sins or not, but the result was I never went back to confessions again, even though my father used to drop me at the church to go to confessions after that. I'd go in and I'd spend an appropriate amount of time in the church to, you know, to lead my father to believe that I'd been to confession, but I never went back to confession again.
And how long did the confession, which seemed to be him fantasizing whatever was in his brain or his mind, how long did that go on for?
Well, I don't know exactly, but it seemed like an age.
Okay.
And in fact, the person who went into confessions before me had been in there for a long time too, even though it was a guy. I knew the guy, and I saw him coming out. He was in there for a long time. I still know the guy who was there before me, and so I don't know what happened on that confession. But it seemed like an age to me.
And you were obviously deeply upset.
Oh, I was. Yeah, I was deeply upset. I could never, you know, I just didn't know what this was all about.
Yeah.
And why I would hear this from a priest.
In a darkened confessional box where you had your fallen undivided attention.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the priest subsequently?
No, I don't ever remember seeing him.
Okay.
because I left the area as quickly as I could. You know, a couple of years later, I left. I finished my leaving cert on a Wednesday, and I was gone to London on a Friday. Because just everything was...
And you never even saw him walking around the area, or
no. And okay. I had no and real reason.
Did you tell anyone, Martina? Did you tell your parents?
No, I couldn't tell anybody. I particularly couldn't tell my parents because, as I said, I had a very strict upbringing, and at that time, priests were pillars of society. And, you know, if you get a clip in the ear if you said anything bad about a priest or anybody in the religious life. So I never told my parents. I never told, I couldn't tell my friends because I actually didn't know what was happening. And, you know, I didn't feel I could tell anybody. And I, you know, it's 54 years ago now, Joe.
Okay.
But and I'm very glad just to get on the air, just to get it out of my system.
And okay, you say you never saw him walking around, whatever. But did you ever hear anything about him subsequently?
I may have, but I have forgotten. I don't ever remember seeing him after that.
Okay, and you don't remember hearing, oh, he's been moved or
No. I don't. I think he died in the parish.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't looked to find out when he died or how long afterwards he died.
Now, was it an awful experience for you to go through such a vulnerable age, a young age, traumatic to say the least. Was it germane to you leaving the church, or do you think that would have happened anyway?
Well, it might have happened as a result of other things that, you know, have happened in the church, and the fact that, I suppose...
not a million miles away to what was happening to you, away from what was happening to you.
No, but I suppose much, much worse in so many ways.
Yeah.
But because, I suppose, really, my parents held the Catholic Church in such high regard, and I'd say subsequent events that happened, you know, have disappointed them. My father is now dead, but my mother is still alive, and would have disappointed them, but they really still fully believe in the Catholic Church. And while now I'm able to say things negatively to my mother about the church and about the priests, she still gives out if I say something to her. She still believes, oh, you can't say that. That's not true.
Okay, she will still check you, if she believes. Now, let me bring in Father Michael Cusack from Galway, 51551 Joe at rt.ie. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Good afternoon to your listeners. And, good afternoon, Martina.
That's Martina.
Good afternoon.
And Michael, I mentioned this earlier and you contacted us. What do you think you should do? Now, whether you could do it or not, and Martina felt she couldn't, obviously, what do you think someone should do? And by the way, the calls that we have about this two incidents over the weekend at a religious event. It wasn't Croagh Patrick, by the way. That was the main religious event, I suppose, over the weekend. But at a religious event, which went on for a number of days, the two calls are on the same vein. They believe that the questions that the priest was asking them was to satisfy himself in that sense.
Right, okay.
What should someone do in the confessional?
Joe, the reason I rang in was, I mean, as I heard that first call out about the two women and before even listening to Martina's story, I mean, I really find my stomach churning, you know, at the idea that this would still happen. Martina's is historic, and clearly it carries with it still a burden of humiliation and upset, and it's been a terribly burdensome experience for her. And you know, I can't on behalf of anyone else say sorry to Martina, but I am very sorry that that has been her experience. For the two ladies who are current and attending a retreat in Ireland today, I would say certainly the pastoral practice, that guidelines for all of us would be to always make the sacrament of reconciliation an experience of compassion and kindness. And now, somebody like a lay person, as opposed to myself, if I had that an experience like that today, I think I would challenge the person and refuse or walk out, one or the other. And the advice I would give to people who would find themselves in that scenario would be to somehow terminate it. You know, walk out. humiliating and all as that may feel, it's better to do that than to allow yourself to be subjected to it and report it. I've had many years, you know, caring for different teams in ministry, and if a complaint did come, because it's confessional, you know, you have the confessional seal, so that's always a hearsay part of it. You have the seal of confession that protects both people within that engagement, but I would still go, if I heard something back about somebody within my community who was ministering, I would sit down with them and say, this is what I've heard, mm-hmm. I want to present it to you, it's inappropriate, it is not the way we're going to minister here, and I suppose I would have to somehow say to them, I'm not accusing you, because of their first line of defence might be to say it didn't happen, and I have no way of breaking into that part of it. But it's utterly inappropriate. I mean, the confessional is supposed to be an experience of compassion and kindness. It's not a place of judgment. It's meant to be a Christian line, like an encounter with Christ that allows you to feel freed. And I know that the two ladies that had the bad experience this weekend or recently, I mean, some of the areas that they may have been questioned about are utterly inappropriate too. Yeah, you know, you're not there to be judged or to be somehow condemned, but to relieve yourself, set yourself free, be able to unburden whatever story. Let's face it, in today's world, those who are going to confession are going not because somebody's saying you have to go, like in Martina's case where her father or mother dropped her off and the expectation was there. But in today's world, I think we should be able to have the expectation that we will be received with kindness. And it isn't always the case. Only this weekend I was speaking to a young man who was telling me of his experience of Sunday Mass and the priest in his parish. And it really saddened me to hear how terribly negative his experience was. You know, and I knew there wasn't a lot of point in saying to him, look, try and shop around and find somewhere else. But I did say that to him. I said, if you could only find somewhere where you're comfortable and where you feel there's a challenge that meets your needs, that's what we need to do today.
But the Sacrament of Penance and Reconciliation, as it's now known and called, one should not involve interrogation, is that correct, about any aspect of your life?
It shouldn't, Joe, no, not at all. I mean, it's certainly...
I know there can be general absolution now, and a lot of confessionals, they're not where the confessor sits in the middle. Mm-hmm. Sorry, the confessor, the person going into the confessional, that space in a lot of churches now is open, isn't that correct?
For different reasons.
Okay. Is there a need for individual confessions like this anymore?
I think the actual sacrament of confession can be very helpful to people, you know, for those who want to unburden themselves and who get the right experience, the experience that it needs to be. Maybe seeking a little bit of advice, maybe looking to unburden themselves, maybe seeking to somehow understand trouble from their past. And that's what would annoy me about hearing cases today that sort of say, let's say, if it's because of somebody's sexuality or the relationships that they're in, like... All of those, everybody is meant to be received with compassion and kindness. That's the Christian line. And that's when we follow the line of Christ, then that's what we're supposed to do. And anything that feels uncomfortable or wrong or that becomes like an inquisition, I really believe is an abuse of the sacrament.
Okay. Let me bring... By the way, sorry, Michael. The seal of confession, and on the one hand... That can be a plus in that people say, well, I feel free to say anything to a priest because of the seal. And then on the other hand, you have the downside where, in Martina's case, she wasn't confident enough or unafraid enough to say it to her parents. Mm-hmm. Is the seal of confession still as watertight as it always has been?
The seal of confession is sacrosanct, and it's one thing that, I mean... The last thing anyone could possibly, as a minister, think of is breaching that seal. Now, we have ways of trying to help people to bring them outside of the confessional in scenarios that we might deem that somebody needs help. And it's not always... I think sometimes when we have this conversation, people think about perpetrators. You know, it's more often victims of different scenarios that you're trying to bring out of the confessional because you want to try and get them the help they need. So in those scenarios, I would say, look, my name is... In most confessions, happens now, the name has to be outside the door of who's inside. Take my name if you want, if you feel comfortable to contact me, we can meet and we can arrange, you know, if they haven't already found ways of seeking help for whatever scenario they find themselves in. Perpetrators, it's such a rare thing. I mean, I've often had a discussion with people saying, what about a paedophile going in and confessing? And I'm thinking, well, I don't think that is the case, because they're sort of unaware of being whatever type of horrible way that that person is made or acting. It's not something that presents in their head as sin, I don't think. So they're not, at least that would be my understanding, they're not going to be running to a confessional to say, oh, I did this or I did that.
But your advice is very clear now. If it does happen, if anything untoward, if it turns into an interrogation about any aspect of your life, including your sexual life, you should just get up and walk away.
Yeah, or challenge, if you have the courage to challenge, which I'm sure in today's world, if Martina were living today, you know, with today's experience, she would probably have the courage to be able to say, look, that's inappropriate, and I'm not going to answer that question, or go and deal with yourself, or where are you trying to bring this to, you know, and engage, because...
Let me bring Mary in, 51551, joe@rt.ie. What Martina's story is bringing back up an incident for you as well, Mary. Maybe it was more than one incident. What happened?
Well, I was in a very secluded private boarding school in the 60s, mm-hmm. and we used to have these annual retreats with various orders of priests.
A retreat? Sorry, you're fading. Your phone is fading.
A retreat.
Okay.
Yeah. A 3-day retreat, and an order of priests would come to the convent and be wined and dined by the nuns and whatever. But during confession, the priest used to ask us things about touching and boys and all sorts of things, which made me feel very guilty, because, of course, I thought of kissing Rock Hudson or, you know, whatever. It was years before I realised that was actually a form of abuse.
And what age were you then, Mary?
I suppose I was about 12 or 13.
Okay, and did it's very difficult. Do you know if he pursued this line of interest with other young girls in the confessional?
Yes, a few others kind of, you know, they looked at each other and said, oh, you know, did you hear that as well?
What's he up to?
We all knew.
And it's in a secluded setting and a protected setting, we're told, and a darkened setting as well. Let me bring and did you ever say it to anyone in authority, Mary?
I never ever said it, because I felt so guilty.
Same thing. Yeah.
Because at 12 you do have certain feelings.
Yeah.
You know, romantic feelings.
Of course. As you say, you film stars nonsense and pop star stuff and
all that kind of stuff.
Yes, stay with us for a sec, Mary. David Weaver, 51551 text. David, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. You find the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, we know it as confession, as very, very important.
Joe, I couldn't recommend confession more highly. I think for someone that goes to confession regularly, I find it, a transforming of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And the priests I've spoken to over the years, and I had one great priest that I went to regularly before he passed away there a couple of years ago. His name was Father Michael Ross. He was a wonderful, wonderful priest. And I have to say, the advice he's given me over the years and other priests have given me over the years has, you know, I just say transforming in my own life. And I couldn't recommend confession more. I think it's probably the most highly recommended thing that anybody could do. And most of the priests, I would just have to say, the priests I've all come across, they've all been, kind, compassionate, and wise. They've had a great wisdom.
So to you, David, is it a counselling session?
No, it's not a counselling session, no.
Okay.
No, you know, the purpose of confession is to reconcile us with God. You know, and that was that, you know, as Jesus spoke, he said, you know, what is bound on earth and what is lost, you know what I mean? So your sins are forgiven when you go to confession. When you go in a humble state and you're going to another human being who's a priest, who could be the biggest sinner in the world. Mm-hmm. But he is only, he's only an instrument acting for God. So you are directly speaking to God, and you are directly being absolved.
And have you got good? And it's always a he, of course. Have you got good advice in the confessional?
Oh yes, I've had great advice in the confessional. Okay. As I said,
David,
that great priest.
David, can I interrupt you there for a minute? I totally respect your views, and I totally respect the fact that you believe in the confessional and everything that goes with it. But if you're 14 and this is, as I said, over 50 years ago, you go to confessional as an innocent, really. And as I said, we had the same sins every time. We weren't, we weren't sinners in the way we know sinners today. We went with our list of three sins. In no way was that priest helpful to me. In fact, he destroyed a part of my life that I have never been able to get back. And I will also say that I have been to a general confession in a public area once since then, because I believed that, I must be some kind of a sinner and I need to have these sins quashed, in case it gets too late. So I do respect what you're saying, but please don't think that every priest, and while a lot of them may be compassionate and caring, they have other things going on, or some of them have other things going on as well, that damages a lot of people.
Can I just answer that, Joe?
Yes, sir.
When I was young and I went to confession, my father used to send us all to confession. And, I had the same thing I always said. Bless me, Father, for I've seen the told lies and said courses. And I don't know why I just kept saying that. You know what I mean? And I was absolved. But, that was being young and child, and that was my first experience of confession. But, as someone that's much older now and goes to confession, as I said, the priests that I've engaged have been positive. But the point is this, is the real point of confession is to be absolved from God of whatever we may have done wrong, whether we can perceive it or not perceive it, or whatever, because I often had in there, I say to the priest, look, whatever else I can't think of or that I may have done wrong, or if I've offended someone or hurt someone or whatever, I ask to be absolved of that as well.
Okay.
So the purpose of it is to reconcile us with God. Okay, and that's the purpose of confession. And I just find that I've had some fantastic experiences of being in confession. I had one fantastic experience when I went to Fatima many years ago, and I was diagnosed with cancer at the time, and I seen the operation, after going to confession. So I've had some wonderful experiences. I couldn't recommend a higher.
Okay.
Reconciles us with God is the purpose. And the priest could be, the nastiest man on the earth. But to me, that's not the important thing.
Okay, take that point well made. Father Michael Cusack,
I think Martina's point is very valid, around the heart, and it proves it all the more, that while in some cases you can have fantastic experiences, one bad experience is enough to damage a person for life. And that's why I think anyone who is ministering, it's a very privileged position to be in. It's definitely, it's so sad and regrettable that happened 54 years ago, but it could still happen today. Callers who are saying this weekend, that their experience was negative. I've absolutely no reason to doubt that that's how they experienced, but they shouldn't have. And in a changing world and a changing church and in a clarified thinking of all of these things around theology and around God and God's love, I think we should be able to now expect that people would be received with kindness, without judgment, and have the type of good experience that, is it Peter?
David
speaks of, I know many people like David who are regular goers, and many times it's people maybe who can't afford counselling or who can't afford therapies, and yet some people who are in programmes of recovery, and they find the experience of having a face-to-face encounter that allows them to say, look, my life is this, this is where I'm heading. I need the grace of God in my life. Okay. I want forgiveness for the past. That's really the way confessions are encouraged today. I too, like Martina, back when I was a child, gave the same old song every time I went. But nowadays, the preference would be to try and ask a person to say, well, look, I'm a single mother, I'm a housewife, I'm whatever it is, and I'm struggling with my life. I don't see myself as perfect, but I want the grace of this sacrament.
I just want to ask Martina. Martina, is this the first time you've spoken publicly about it? I presume it is. But have you told your mother in the meantime?
Oh, gosh, no. Oh, no, because telling my mother would be, she just would never believe that happened.
I'm just conscious she might know now.
No, she's quite an old lady now, and I don't think she would.
So you see, you knew what you were cautious, and I appreciate that.
I have told a couple of or two friends, and family, but that's it.
Okay, Martina, kind regards, Father Michael Cusack and Mary and David. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Back to that story earlier on where two women who were at a religious event at the weekend felt that in the confessional they were asked deeply inappropriate questions about their sex life, and they were very upset. Jenny, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
And we then started talking about the seal of the confessional. Go ahead, Jenny. What happened? What did you become aware of?
I just half listened to your program. I'm sure I heard somebody, some man you were speaking to say about the seal of confession being, it can't be broken, and it can be broken and was broken, as far as I'm concerned.
In what case? What happened?
I had a friend who was suicidal, and had been dealing with that person for quite a while. But it became very heavy to carry, knowing everything that was going on.
Yeah.
And I asked a particular priest if I could speak to him with the confessional seal.
Okay.
And he agreed. Yeah. And I stressed that this was confessional seal.
Okay.
So I spoke to him and I told him what was happening.
Right.
And he was quite surprised, at what was happening. Mm. But the next morning, that friend of mine was taken into care. Mm.
And do you believe the...
Oh, yeah, sure. Because I talked to him afterwards. I talked to the priest afterwards, and he said, in cases like that, where...
So you confronted the priest?
I did, yeah.
What did you say to him, Jenny?
I said to him, I asked you for a confessional seal, and you broke it. You broke that promise.
By contacting social services?
By contacting, somebody else. Yeah. And he said, in cases where a life is at risk, it can be done. But I was so disillusioned, I was so angry at the whole thing. Mm.
But why were you telling the priest in the first place?
Because I had been dealing with this person quietly. Nobody knew. And I knew a lot about my friend and where my friend was at. And it really got very heavy for me to carry alone. And I wanted to share and ask advice for how to handle the situation.
And when you forewarned them about the seal of the confessional, you wanted it upheld.
He assured me, yes.
He didn't answer any caveats in saying, well, hang on, unless you...
No, no, he didn't. And he didn't say that immediately afterwards. He didn't say anything.
Because a counsellor, for example, I think they are obliged to say to you, if you tell me anything where I believe you might be, you or someone else might be in danger, I am obliged to...
Yeah, they're obliged.
Is confidential.
I understand. And I'm fully aware of that.
Now, was it for the better that the priest contacted social services about this third party you'd spoken about?
I don't know whether it was or not. It caused a lot of grief.
But did it? Is that person still
alive? It didn't solve the situation.
Is that person still alive?
No, he's not. But the person is not alive. Okay. But he didn't die by suicide.
So does that not tell us the priest was right?
No,
I know it's not down to right and wrong. You're saying
there was. It doesn't tell us the priest was right because the priest had. He had given his word, he'd given the confessional seal, and it didn't create a great situation for my friend.
Would your friend have been aware who
oh, yeah.
revealed?
Of course they were.
Yeah. And did they say anything to you?
We spoke about it. And
how did that end?
I explained everything. My friend knew it wasn't, you know, it wasn't my fault. My friend knew I had felt stressed.
Yeah. Did your friendship end because of it?
No. Okay. It didn't.
Okay, let me bring, say there, Jenny, if you would, please, 51551. Kate, good afternoon.
Kate, Joe, good afternoon. Yeah. How are you?
Good.
I was listening to your first caller there.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing happened to myself when I was in my early 20s. And I was working in town and I went to confession in the Pro Cathedral.
Okay.
In Marble Street. And what I noticed when I was going into the confession was the priest had his curtain open.
Okay.
And he saw me coming, and I was wearing a white mini, pair of high heel shoes, it was really a mini.
Yeah,
but what got me was the curtain. His curtains open. They shouldn't be open. They should be closed.
Okay.
So in I went anyway.
So he could see into.
Oh, he could see me, the full image of me coming in.
Yeah.
So when it came to my turn, I went in and I told him what I learned from confession, and when I was doing my first communion. That's what I always told them. I never. Really did anything wrong.
What is this? What's again? Course swore or told lies?
Yeah, I told lies. You know, the usual. You know, I course. You know, I told a few lies. Blah blah blah. Something very simple things, really. You know, I don't think they're sins at all now. But anyway, what got me was he said to me, "Is there anything else you would like to tell me?"
Mm.
And I said, "Of course, I coughed straight away." You know, when I saw the curtains opened and the short skirt, and now I was early 20s and. I said to him, "Father, if you want your kicks, you're not getting them from me. Goodbye and good luck." And I banged the door and I walked out.
Okay. And you do believe he was...
What he wanted was...
He was, yeah.
He wanted a bit of, you know, a bit of... You know, he thought it would be something in that line I would go into.
Yeah.
Now, I had boyfriends, but we weren't.
I know, that's your own business.
We had simple boyfriends, you know what I mean? Talking long... that's 40 years ago now I'm talking about. So
did you walk out or storm out?
I walked out. I said, "If you want your kicks,
okay,
you're not getting them from me. Goodbye and good luck."
And what age were you then, Katie?
About 22, 23.
Okay.
And I walked out and I was furious.
And your instincts were that he was up to something untoward.
He wanted to hear a little bit more juicy kind of, something to kind of keep him, I don't know. And what I did say, walking up the street because I was starving and I was only on my lunch, I said the same prayers that I got for my last confession. And I never went to confession since, nor I won't go either. Now, saying that, I go to Mass most mornings now, and I don't, I won't go to confession. But I will say, but that was only one priest, but not all priests are like that.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not against the church. You know, I've got a mass morning and blah, blah, blah. I like that.
Yeah.
But I thought it was terrible, you know.
Okay. You know, to tell you. As you said, and did he react when you shouted?
He didn't have time. I was gone. I just said, "Listen here, Father, if you want your kicks, you're not getting them from me. Go elsewhere. Oh. Goodbye."
Okay.
And I was gone. And I left. And I never went back since. Okay. Confession. I'm now in my 60s and I have no intention of ever going to confession again because I have nothing to tell. You know, now the confession priests are lovely if you want to go and talk to them about if you have a bereavement or something like that because they give very good sermons and everything, I think. And I think they are if you have somebody sick and you're very upset, but not for that kind of talk that I am positive that he was looking for.
He was trying to steer in that
direction. Trying to steer me in that direction.
Okay.
But there was nothing, I had nothing really to tell him anyway. But he wanted, that's what he wanted, thinking that I would come up with something like that and he'd keep me.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
Did you ever see him since or did you know who he was?
I No, it didn't. No, he won't see me. I'd say he's probably, it's about 40 years ago. He's probably dead now. I don't know. He's probably, but okay. I hope, but I just was raging over he asking me the question he asked me.
Going that direction. Okay. Kate, kind regards. God bless Kate.
Yes,
and,
yes. You know, it must have happened to loads of younger. Young.
Well, it seems like, looking at the calls that we're getting, it began with one call as usual. And
yes.
There seems to be an avalanche. Thanks, Kate. Thanks.
Yeah, I always listen to you. Thank you very
You're
much.
You're very kind. Bye-bye. And thanks, Jenny, as well. 51551 joe@rte.ie. Let me go back to the confessional. And Mary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
How are you? The line sounds stressful. I'll come back to you in a sec. Tracy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
What happened in the confessional?
Well, I came in halfway through your show, Joe. Usually I'd be listening from early every day, and I was just, something really went through me. I was only talking to one of my kids recently about speaking out and, you know, telling the truth and saying if anything happens. And it brings me back to 1996 when I got married. And I went, as I was saying to the researcher, you know, up and down to the priest who was dealing with me at the time, a fantastic, beautiful man. And under the guidance of somebody had said to me, oh, well, if you're getting married, you need to get confession the day before.
Yeah.
And it was a weekday, so I arranged to go down to my parish that I'd been 23 years going to, and was brought in to the sacristy. And the priest in question wasn't the priest I normally knew or dealt with or who was marrying me for that matter. And he said, well, now I'll hear your confession in the sacristy. And I proceeded to say, Father, this is my sins. And he said, no, hang on. He said, I think you're not confessing all your sins. I think you might have a sin. And I said, no. I said, no, at these. And, you know, Joe, even when you think of it, what are your sins? I mean, I probably had lost my temper or whatever. And he said, no. He said, you definitely have another sin. Sure, you have a baby.
My God.
Now, thinking of it now, if somebody said that to one of my children or I was so taken aback. I still remember the fear coming over me, the tears in my eyes, and I said yes. And he said, well, isn't that a sin? Now, that's a sin. You've made a mistake. So, will you confess that sin now? And I said, well, yes, Father. I'm sorry for having my child, who subsequently was 3.5 at that time, who had been christened in that church. And I just can't tell you, for all these years, and I said it to the researcher, only probably a handful of times have I spoken to people about it.
Yeah.
But it really, really struck a chord today. And again, having my own children now, I have never, ever once encouraged them. They've all made communions, confirmations, and the difference in the confession now is that it's more of an open service. And oh, I would totally and utterly disagree with it. What little child has a sin to confess?
Yeah.
What 23-year-old mother? You know, how dare somebody make me apologise for having my beautiful, gorgeous son?
Now, Tracy, let me bring in Mary. Hopefully it's a better line. But Mary's point is that... is it Mary, am I correct in saying that your confession, you were with the priest from 6:30 p.m. till 11:30 at night?
Yes, correct.
And was that a confession?
No. I was just in his house to hand him a letter of freedom for my husband. Well, he wasn't my husband at the time we were getting married. And he proceeded to continue on and tell me all the facts of life and pregnancy and periods and what men would do and whatnot. And it got very, 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 very abrupt and it was disgusting.
And that went on for 4 or 5 hours?
5 hours, yep. And I was 23 at the time, quite innocent at the time.
Yeah.
But looking back in it now, that was 1974, looking back in it now, the priest said, one of them things to me, I nearly have hit him.
Yeah. And what did you know the priest? What age group was he?
Oh, he would have been in his, I suppose, maybe 30s. Okay.
But you believe what he was doing was entirely inappropriate over that five-hour period.
Terrible, terrible, disgusting. It took me a long number of years to get over what he did to me.
Yeah. And did you?
I did say to my sister-in-law, she was disgusted with it. Years down the road, I said it to my mother, and my mother said I was mad.
Yeah.
She obviously didn't believe me, and she went to the grave believing that, that I was mad.
Isn't that a pity?
Yeah, and that's a terrible shame.
Sorry, Joe.
Yeah, briefly, Tracy.
Yeah, I just feel that that, like that Mary is saying, I feel... I never went home and said to anyone,
course,
or even to my husband,
because
I felt, oh, I'd done something wrong. Oh, how could I not have confessed the biggest sin?
The power
he had
of
me
it.
Convinced yeah. that I was very lucky. Oh, and sorry, Joe, this is something else. I was very lucky to be getting married.
Oh.
And then Mary, just finally, thanks, Tracy. Mary mentioned letters of freedom. Aren't they, when you're from a different parish and you have to get a letter from your priest of your parish if you're getting married in a different parish? What does that
mean? That's right, yeah. I was born in a different parish to me.
Okay. Mary, kind regards. It was an awful experience over 5 hours. Thanks indeed. Back tomorrow, 1:45. Fergus Sweeney produced. Catherine Thomas is next.